Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal, and we are back, Logan Lowry and myself, with another edition of Double Coverage. Going to talk some Ole Miss and MSU football in the program today. We thank you for joining us. After a few technical difficulties, you make a lot of great plans, but then internet happens. And Logan is a little bit under the weather, but he's here. And hey, he's got new internet. Logan, how are you, man?
Well, I'm here, and hopefully this new internet will work better than the last that I had. So we'll see how it goes. And it was actually you that had technical difficulties this time. It's usually on my end. So I guess you're paying me back for all those times I left you all those times. But we're here, and hopefully we'll make it through this thing intact.
We are here, and we're going to make this work, folks. We're going to have some good Ole Miss and MSU talk, and we remind you that this is now available for you in a podcast. It's called Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Search for it on your smartphones, wherever you go to search for podcasts, and you'll find us there, as well as The Memo, the podcast produced by our news side with Derek Russell and Brad Locke talking about current events, news of the day. It's all right there in The Memo 3 days a week. We're coming to you every Thursday, 11-ish, technical issues if we don't have those, but we're good to go now. I'm going to talk some Ole Miss and MSU football. Let's get right into it. Logan, start us out a little bit with Mississippi State. What's going on with the Bulldogs this week?
Well, you know, coming off a win against Troy, kind of got back on the winning fit to start that three-game homestand that the Bulldogs have, and they were really impressive early, and that's something that Mississippi State had struggled with a lot this season, was getting off to a good start. Now, they've played really well in the second half and a lot in the fourth quarter. They haven't given up a touchdown in the fourth quarter all season. But they've been digging themselves a hole in some of those losses early on, and it was good to see them get off to a start like they did against Troy. They scored two touchdowns within the first 2 minutes of the game. And in the first quarter itself, they scored touchdowns in all three phases. They had a long touchdown pass from Dak Prescott to Fred Ross. Then Brandon Bryant comes in with a quarterback sack, jars the ball loose. Nelson Adams falls on it in the end zone. And then Fred Ross comes back again with a 77-yard punt return for a touchdown there in that first quarter. And Mississippi State was able to jump out to a huge lead. It was 38-0 at halftime. And, you know, Dak Prescott was under the weather. It was unsure whether he would even play in that game. He was able to start. I think he played 10 plays in that game and then kind of turned things over to Nick Fitzgerald. And he played really well. You know, it's kind of his first extended action where a lot of the offense was on him, and he played well. I mean, 6 of 7 passes. I think he had 141 yards passing, no interceptions, two touchdown passes, and one rushing touchdown. So he's played really well this season as a redshirt freshman, and it kind of gives Mississippi State fans something to look forward to when number 15 walks out the door at the end of the year. But Mississippi State still has some injury questions. We'll get into that a little bit later. But, you know, right now, you know, we're looking at a couple of guys that were held out of that ball game, and we'll have to see if they're back this week for Louisiana Tech.
Well, Ole Miss also was able to win big against a non-conference opponent last week. Logan, I put in the paper, man, it was like Ole Miss and State last week both experienced the healing powers of the Sun Belt Conference. You know, they were coming off those difficult SEC road losses, State at Texas A&M and Ole Miss at Florida, the Rebels with their first loss of the year there in Gainesville. They were back at home last week also against another Sun Belt Conference team, New Mexico State. New Mexico State has been struggling not only this year but for years. So it was almost like having that FCS game for a second time. Ole Miss won big 52-3, but it didn't start out quickly. The Rebels drove down the field, did as they've done many times this year, and just really moved the ball easily from 20-20, but got inside that red zone and struggled a little bit. And they had a first down and goal from the 9 and had to settle for a field goal against New Mexico State, and that was an unsettling feeling. And even more so when New Mexico State then took the kick and drove 67 yards. It took them 15 plays to do it. But they were able to convert a couple of third downs along the way with some quarterback scrambles, the Ole Miss dropping deep in coverage and, you know, getting near the quarterback with pass rush but not enough to take him down and get a big play with a sack there, the quarterback getting away. New Mexico State converted a 3rd and 15 on that drive. They converted a 3rd and 7. ultimately, they're able to kick a field goal and tie the game at 3. Well, the Rebels got some separation quickly after that, and the game got out of hand, and it turned into one of those games that you want with that kind of opponent, and that's one that lets you play a lot of young people and rest a lot of wounded people, and the Rebels were able to do that. A much more difficult non-conference opponent this week against Memphis, and we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But against New Mexico State, the Rebels were able to kind of get their offense back on track. They showed the long ball again that they weren't able to complete against Florida. And really, they ran the ball well, even with Jaylen Walton, their starting running back, out with a sore ankle. He'll be back this week. But it was a chance, like I said, to get healthy, and the Rebels took advantage of that, held some people out, and they'll have more bodies available on the offensive line for Memphis. But the big news of the week for Ole Miss does not involve the Memphis game. It involves the Texas A&M game. That's when Laramie Tunsil will return to left tackle. Tunsil, a projected top 5 overall pick next spring, perhaps the overall number 1 pick. We'll see how this 7-game suspension damages or hurts his draft stock and what he can do in these 5 games to regain that. But the Rebels, while being really excited about the news that Tunsil will soon be rejoining them, need not look past a Memphis team that is 5-0, is ranked number 22 in the coaches' poll, and really has excited its fan base. I mean, it'll be a much more high-energy crowd at Liberty Bowl than Ole Miss is used to seeing, than Ole Miss fans are used to seeing, should I say, when they play Memphis, because these Ole Miss players have not played there. This will be the Rebels' first trip to Memphis for a regular season game since 2009, so it will be a new experience. But this is a team that they need to really be locked in and ready to face, an explosive offensive team. So Tunsil will come back for Texas A&M, but they still need to get some things done on offense against Memphis in order to improve to 6-1 when they do have it.
Yeah, and looking at Mississippi State, what they've got with Louisiana Tech this week, they're a team that's 4-2 as well coming in. And this is a Louisiana Tech team that went to Kansas State earlier this year and went into 3 overtimes. Now, they lost that game, but to take a program like a Kansas State on the road and go to 3 overtimes with them just shows the fight this team has. You know, obviously last year, Manny Diaz, Mississippi State's defensive coordinator, served under Skip Holtz at Louisiana Tech and led the nation in turnovers. So a lot of those players return. Manny Diaz is very familiar with what they're trying to do defensively, and it spoke highly of what they have in their coaching staff and personnel this week. And Dan Mullen praised what they were able to do offensively. Obviously, they've got Jeff Driscoll at quarterback, the former Florida signal caller who transferred in as a fifth-year senior, and he's really played well in his chance at Louisiana Tech. Dan Mullen kept saying all week that he got a bad rap at Florida. He took the blame for a lot of Florida's problems that weren't necessarily his fault, and he's kind of turned things around there at Louisiana Tech. And then they've got an NCAA record holder. I think he has 5 NCAA records. Tailback there in Kenneth Dixon. So Mississippi State, while you look at Louisiana Tech and say, oh, it's just a Conference USA school, it's kind of like Ole Miss. They have to watch out for this school, because this team is one of those that can jump up and beat you if you don't play at your best. And I think Mississippi State found that out the last time they came here in 2012. Mississippi State had to go into overtime to beat Louisiana Tech. Chris Relf hit Ladarius Perkins in the end zone on the final play of the game to win that one. Nico Whitley had a big interception on the first play on the first drive of the overtime. So Mississippi State had to battle the last time they came here, and they're probably in for another one on Saturday.
Well, I have a little history with Louisiana Tech. Logan, having attended Northeast Louisiana in Monroe, we were rivals back in the day. Those schools don't play anymore. But I know that State has had some problems with Louisiana Tech in the past. I mean, they went to Ruston and lost, I believe, in 2008.
And, that's correct. I was at that game. Yeah, sure was.
And if I'm not mistaken, I know Louisiana Tech won in Starkville in 1996, and I believe that was Tech's first win against an SEC opponent about 10 years after they announced a move to Division One in 1986. Now, you know, I'm thinking that's when it was. But this is a program that's really pretty consistent year in and year out. And, you know, these smaller schools, Logan, you know, they're going to have athletes. The difference between these non-Power Five schools and the Power Five schools is usually the number of athletes and depth. And so Ole Miss will experience that at Memphis Saturday. Memphis certainly has athletes. Right now they have like six wide receivers with at least 10 catches, all of which are averaging more than 13 yards. So Paxton Lynch, the quarterback, is spreading the ball around, much like Chad Kelly is for Ole Miss. But Lynch has thrown 10 touchdown passes, no interceptions this season. He's completing at a 70.5% rate. Very successful. Usually when you see a guy, you know, throwing with a completion percentage in that range, it means the team is really utilizing the short and intermediate passing game. And frankly, that's what has given Ole Miss trouble this season. Since the injury to Tony Connor at Husky, the Rebels nickelback, also a projected first-round pick, he had surgery on a torn meniscus after the Alabama game, so he hasn't played since then. Hugh Freeze told us earlier in the week that his comeback is a little bit slower than what was hoped. Not really optimistic that Connor will be back soon. Originally, there was the possibility that he could be back for Texas A&M. Freeze didn't rule that out. You know, that's just next week, October 24th. He didn't rule it out, but he wasn't really optimistic that that was about to take place either. So it looks like they're going to be without Tony Connor for a while. Now, teams have been able to complete that crossing pattern against Ole Miss. Florida did several times, turned one play into a 77-yard touchdown after a couple of Ole Miss defenders were a little bit confused or out of place, just didn't look ready to defend the Florida player, and all of a sudden that was a score for the Gators. Ole Miss cleaned that up a little bit last week when they moved senior Mike Hilton down to Husky. He had been starting at Rover. He goes back to Husky. He started there as a freshman, had a couple of starts there as a sophomore. It's been a while, but Hilton has played every position in the secondary. Now, he looked really good there last week, but it comes with an asterisk because it was New Mexico State, a much bigger challenge for Mike Hilton this week with Memphis and Paxton Lynch, and also a bigger challenge at free safety for Ole Miss because that's where the new guy, the less experienced guy, moves into the lineup, and that's sophomore C.J. Hampton. He starts again this week at free safety as Trey Elston, the senior who had been starting at free safety, moves back to his natural position of Rover. It's a place he started for 3 years before moving to free safety this season as the Rebels were looking to replace All-American Cody Pruitt. So, new guy in the lineup is C.J. Hampton, a bigger test this week with a much more proficient passing game for Memphis than he faced against New Mexico State. This is a guy, a highly recruited four-star kid out of Meridian. If you go back to his recruiting days, Nick Saban caused a stir when he flew in on a helicopter, you know, to Meridian and landed there and really tried to lure away Hampton, who had been an Ole Miss commit for a long time. Hampton wavered a little bit, but ultimately signed with Ole Miss. This is a guy who they expect big things from. They expect him to be, you know, an all-star caliber player, and this is certainly a transition time for C.J. Hampton and a great opportunity for him to live up to his recruiting coverage. So we'll see if he can get that done.
Yeah, look at what Mississippi State's injuries going into that that game last week with Troy. Mississippi State had lost five players in that Texas A&M game that did not come back and play. So all those guys were questionable. The only guy that really came back in that game was cornerback Will Redmond. He started that game, but the game got so out of hand so quickly that they were able to get him off the field and get some of those younger cornerbacks some experience. So Will Redmond didn't play a whole lot, but it was encouraging for Bulldog fans that he was back out there. He's obviously their best cover corner and probably their best player in the secondary. Gus Wally, the tight end, missed his second straight game. He didn't play against Texas A&M either. He has a hand injury. Dan Mullen said earlier this week he expects to have him back this week, or was hopeful to have him back in the lineup this week. Left tackle Rufus Warren was held out of that Troy game. He did dress out. And Dan Mullen said he could have played if he was needed. He has an ankle injury. He expects him to be back for sure this week. Joe Morrow and Gabe Miles, the two wide receivers, those guys are still both out, still both questionable for this week. Morrow has a shoulder issue. Gabe Miles has an issue with his left foot. He actually was in a walking boot this past Saturday during the Troy game. I doubt either one of those guys play this week against Louisiana Tech. Dan Mullen said it may be a while on Joe Morrow. He did say Gabe Miles was a little closer to play in shape than Joe Morrow was at this time, but he didn't list any specific links. He just said that both of those guys were questionable. So, you know, and of course, Dak Prescott, you know, was sick this past Saturday. So was Elijah Staley, the third string quarterback. That's why you didn't see him a lot. And I think he took a few snaps there at the end of the ball game. Didn't play very much at all. It was pretty much the Nick Fitzgerald show last week. So Staley's back healthy, and so is Dak Prescott. So there's no issues with sickness with either of those two guys.
So all the germs were limited to the quarterback room. Is that what I'm hearing? And maybe Fitzgerald, maybe he went out to get something to drink or something and missed that bug.
Yeah, and apparently they all are like roommates. I don't know if they're roommates in the same apartment or if they were just roommates in the hotel the night prior to the game. But I know Dak Prescott and Nick Fitzgerald were together the night before the ball game. And, you know, Dak actually told Nick that he was sick and didn't know if he would be able to play. And Nick said he just kind of stayed away from him from that point on because he knew that he was probably going to be the guy that got most of the reps that day for sure. So I know it caused a big stir when Dak didn't go through the dog walk. I got tweets from fans asking where was Dak, and I'm up in the press box. I don't get to go to the dog walk, so I don't know what's happening. But Bill Martin and his staff at Mississippi State with the media relations got word to us quickly whenever things were determined that Dak would try to go through warm-ups. He was hooked through some IVs already, got some fluids in him. They were going to see if he could play, and obviously he played those first three series and then stayed on the sideline the rest of the time. But he performed well, you know, while he was out there and got the job done.
Well, it hasn't been flu and sickness for Ole Miss just as much as regular old injuries, and that's kind of taken a toll on the offensive line. This is a group now without Tunsil that, you know, had kind of started to play well together and was developing a little bit of continuity with Fawn Cooper at left tackle, Sean Rawlings, the redshirt freshman at right tackle, Robert Conyers at center, and then, you know, a freshman guard in Javon Patterson on the left side and Justin Bell on the right side. And they've just really been disrupted a lot by injuries. They've played through some injuries, some of them. Javon Patterson, we thought, was going to be held out last week against New Mexico State. As it turned out, he was able to play, and he was needed to play. Justin Bell was held out last week for a second straight game. Robert Conyers was held out. Looks like everyone will be available against Memphis, with the possible exception of Conyers, who is still listed day-to-day. We still don't know his status for Memphis. I like the idea for Ole Miss that they're going to get Justin Bell back, a lot of experience that they can bring back, you know, to the interior of the offensive line, and that's really where they have struggled a little bit more. I think missing Conyers, if they do that, that's a big loss at center. He gives Ole Miss a little bit bigger player than Ben Steele, a little bit more athletic player, and, you know, he's their best option at center. If he's available, it's unknown at this point whether he will be for Memphis, but it does look like the Rebels are getting stronger on the offensive line, and we'll see. They stand the chance to be much stronger, of course, when Tunsil gets back next week. Cooper will automatically go back to right tackle, and Rawlings will play off the bench, and that gives the Rebels a little more depth there and experience, because Sean Rawlings, when he moves to the bench next week, will have six starts under his belt. So they benefit there. Tunsil comes back at a difficult time. A lot of us speculated that the suspension would be six games. And if that had been the case, he would be available Saturday against Memphis. I think not playing against Memphis is really it's a big deal for Laramie Tunsil, because it means he comes back against Texas A&M and against SEC sack leader Myles Garrett, with no game speed this season at all. Garrett will have played the whole season. Tunsil comes back, and he's going to have to pick up game speed on the fly. I think he'll do that, and he'll get there quickly because of his athleticism and his experience, now a junior and a third-year starter. You know, that will come. But there will be a few moments at the end of the game that Laramie Tunsil is still going to have to adjust to his surroundings, and he's going to have to make that adjustment against one of the best defensive ends in the league. But the big news for Ole Miss is that Tunsil will be available for that game. Logan, after watching Ole Miss against Florida, and I know you have already seen Texas A&M, I didn't give the Rebels much chance to block Texas A&M in that game. They really struggled with the quickness of the Florida defensive line. So what did you see in Texas A&M defensively when State played there?
Well, they actually had a defense, and that's kind of the first time in a few years that you could say that about Texas A&M. Obviously, Miles Garrett was a beast even last year, but under John Chavis, they've really got that thing down pat. They harassed Dak Prescott all night, and they only got him on the ground twice with two sacks, but they affected a lot of his throws. Especially that throw to Gabe Miles that was wide open. Mississippi State had a touchdown. Texas A&M had a blown coverage. They left him wide open in the slot. And Dak Prescott got hurried and had to release the ball a little sooner than he thought to and overshot Gabe Miles what should have been a touchdown for Mississippi State in a crucial part of the ball game. But Miles Garrett was a beast. I mean, that's the only way I know to describe him. He ate Rufus Warren's lunch all day long coming off that right edge, playing right defensive end. And, it was something to behold. I mean, he's going to make a lot of money one of these days. And the only player that I could kind of compare him to would be a Jadeveon Clowney. And I think he's actually a little bit thicker than Jadeveon is. He may not be quite as fast, but I think he's got more explosive power than Clowney has. So he's in that same category as him. So that's going to be a crucial matchup. Like you said, looking at Tunsil and, what he's projected to do in the NFL. And I think Miles Garrett's going to be right there with him in another year.
Well, like you mentioned, defensive ends can be very disruptive without sacking the quarterback. It's not all about the sack. I mean, that's what everybody wants. And certainly, that's the preferred end of the play for a defensive end. But just getting in that backfield, getting hands up, beating your block, flushing the quarterback out, those are all things that affect the play. And, Ole Miss will have a much better chance for success against Texas A&M with Laramie Tunsil on the field. But there'll be a little bit of adjustment time there. Looking ahead, this week's games, Logan, a couple of matchups that I think will favor Ole Miss. We've talked about that Memphis offense and how explosive it is. I do think the Rebels have a better chance to perform well in that short passing game against that passing game from Memphis with Mike Hilton moving down to Husky. But Ole Miss is going to have to outscore Memphis in this game. They're going to have to put up the points on the board that they have against lesser non-conference competition. They're going to have – now, I'm not talking – 60 and 70, but they're going to have to get in the 40s, I think. I think Memphis is going to score some points. Now, Memphis had shown some explosiveness last year when it got to Oxford and ended up losing 24-3. That was a much different Ole Miss defense, and the Rebels held Memphis to 104 total yards last year, held Paxton Lynch to 13 for 31 passing and less than 100 yards through the air, and also had an interception. He's different. He's more experienced. His offense is more experienced. Ole Miss is still trying to find itself on defense. Where I think the Rebels will have advantages will be when they match up against the Memphis defense. A Memphis defense right now that is ranked number 90 in the nation in sacks, number 112 in tackles for loss. That tells me that they are not getting in the backfield too much, and they are not being terribly disruptive. And if that's the case, Chad Kelly has shown that when he is protected and when he has time, he can find receivers, and Ole Miss has some very good receivers. And that's what's really been the calling card of this offense most of this season. They've run the ball in spots. They've run the ball very good at some times, other times against Alabama, Florida, and at times against Vanderbilt. They've been inconsistent. But what has been there for this team when they have protected the quarterback has been the passing game and the targets that he has to throw to, starting with Laquon Treadwell. I think Ole Miss will really have some success there against Memphis. I've got them winning Logan 45-30. So tell us a little bit about State and Texas A&M.
Or Louisiana Tech.
Oh, hey, yeah, we already talked about Texas A&M. Tell us about Louisiana Tech, where you see State matching up there and how you see that game coming out.
Yeah, I didn't like Mississippi State's chances against Texas A&M looking back at that game. But, yeah, Louisiana Tech, they're like I said, they're 4-2. They've played some teams well. I do like what Mississippi State did on the defensive line last week against Troy. They played their best game, and just everybody across the front that they moved in there played and played well. I mean, Ryan Brown got the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week award, but you could have easily given that to A.J. Jefferson. He had a monster game and has had a monster season, kind of filling in for Preston Smith. You know, Preston Smith was in the spotlight a lot last year, but A.J. Jefferson played well behind him, and he's moved up into that starter's role and played exceptionally well. Chris Jones, Nick James, Nelson Adams, they all played well there in the middle at defensive tackle, and I really like what they've done on like defensive line for David Turner there. But looking at their matchup against, Louisiana Tech, Mississippi State's got to find some resemblance of a running game with their actual running backs, and that's something they've struggled with the entire year. Ashton Shumpert hasn't gotten the job done as a starter. Brandon Holloway actually started at tailback last week, didn't have a whole lot of success there. We've talked about that before. He's listed at 5'8", 165 pounds. And Parrish, you know, looking at rosters, they sometimes tend to fudge some numbers on the heights and weights. And when you got a guy listed at 5'8", 165 pounds, that's saying a lot, because he's probably not even that big. And I just don't think his body can take the workload of being that number one tailback. He does make a lot of plays, and obviously he's one of the fastest players on State's roster. But, he just can't take the pounding that an entire SEC game would bring to him. So, you know, and then, you know, they've got a couple of redshirt freshmen that they really like, and Aris Williams and Dontavian Lee. Aris Williams had the big fumble going into the end zone against Texas A&M a couple of weeks ago. And then Dontavian Lee ran the ball well at the end last week against Troy. But I think maybe some of his problems may be in protections and reads and some of the stuff that running backs do without the ball in their hands. And Dan Mullen talked that's just as important as running the football for him is protecting Dak Prescott and getting all those protections right and stuff. And, you know, obviously Ashton Shumpert's their best option in that regard. He's a veteran player. He knows all the plays. And he's actually caught the ball pretty well out of the backfield this year, made some plays that way. But running the ball in between the tackles just hadn't clicked so far for him this season. And, you know, some of that has to do with the offensive line. Mississippi State's still leaky in the offensive line at a few spots. So they need to play consistently in the offensive line, open up some holes for those running backs, and get some confidence back in the ground game, because even though Dak Prescott and those wide receivers are Mississippi State's strength, they really need the resemblance of a running game, and they need the option of having the threat of Dak Prescott running the ball or the running back running the ball, and they really just haven't had that this year. And I think it's hurt Dak's numbers running, and it's obviously hurt the running back's numbers running.
Hey, folks, we thank you for being with us this week, and we will be back next week around about the same time. Also, remember to look for us where you look for podcasts. On your smartphone, you can find us there under Double Coverage. And also look for The Memo, two podcasts being produced right now by the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Lots of good Ole Miss MSU talk and Double Coverage and news of the day with The Memo. Check us out.